are back, hour number two, and just right up to the moment, trying to collate new material for you. As you know, there has been a lot of talk in the last week, and a little longer, about little children showing up with liver damage, and none of them were vaxxed, and several of them had to have liver transplants. Well, somebody did a little homework. I think they already knew. And they have now announced that children with liver damage were breastfed by vaxxed mothers. So the mothers took the bioweapon and then gave it to the kids. We had a link somewhere, so they finally just said, well, I think they had to admit it, frankly. So the children are really paying a price. And that goes hand in hand with the FDA's work last week of okaying remdesivir for 28-day-old infants, all the way up, I think, to 12 years of age or 11, something like that. In other words, they included all the children. This is mass child sacrifice. This is some satanic sacrifice through modern chemistry of little babies. They're killing these kids. I get to the point where every other day it seems like there's something mind-boggling. And I've seen a lot. This stuff just keeps going on and on and on. Eric is here. Welcome back. And we got a lot on the table tonight. Tell us your thoughts about this breastfed liver damage linkage that somebody had to know about, but they held off, I think.
Yeah, that's I think we've got at least a common denominator here. It was puzzling because the average age of the child coming down with this hepatitis, which is a liver inflammation, was 3 years old. And they said, pretty solidly that age group had not been subjected to the vax. So what else would explain it? Maybe shedding, and that is still on the table. But now they're finding out that 100% of these cases were children who were breastfed by their mothers, and they range in age from, 1 month to 4 years. So that's right in that three-year average age group. And then they said the older children, 11 to 16-year-old age group, the majority of those cases had been vaxxed with at least one dose of the COVID injection. So it's looking like, even though they said there was no association with the vax, well, there is an association with the vax. And the way these children are being just collateral damage, if not outright, targeted, it's sad. And I look at the infants that are around nowadays or young children, I think, get a good look, because these might be the last infants or children you see for, I don't know, maybe the rest of your life, depending on how successful this is. I think
really
kids are going to become a rare sight, or normal kids are going to become a rare sight. We're going to see crippled and maimed, and if we see any at all.
I agree. Yeah, sure, I agree.
I mean, sterility issues that are going to be coming about from the women who have taken this vax. I mean, there's already a staggering increase in women encountering fertility issues, and not that they hadn't to some degree in the past, but now it appears to be approaching epic proportions.
These people who are going to give their children remdesivir, informed consent should be a law when it comes to any pharmaceutical given to any minor, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not.
I mean, I don't know. So one way or another, this is becoming the standard hospital protocol that if you agree to be treated by a particular hospital, that this is your only option. So I guess by default, you're consenting to that.
When you go into a hospital and they admit you, one of the first things most hospitals do is immediately pronounce you COVID infected, no matter what. It's just you've got COVID. That means you can't see your family. No one can go in and advocate for you without probably a court order of some kind. They'll do whatever they want to do. And I have a friend who was given remdesivir without his permission, but the doctor said to him, I only gave you enough to save your life. Ha, ha, ha. Well, the gentleman died, my friend, the day after Christmas. They killed him. So this is happening all the time, all the time. When you go into a hospital, they have in their forms, and nobody ever reads them, the fine print, we have the right to exercise any protocol we think is advisable to save your life and help you regain your health, whatever. That's what they do. And people don't read it, and they're not told about it. It's a scam. It's big money. 1 week of remdesivir, remember, is $56,000 profit for the hospital. Anyway.
Well, and that was the drug that Trump took when he had supposedly
allegedly.
COVID.
Allegedly.
Right, allegedly.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave it his tacit approval.
I don't know. That could have been a setup, too, just to get people to embrace remdesivir.
Yeah. Yes. Or at least put it on the map, you know, give it public recognition. But I did hear a story, it was probably 2 months ago now, where a woman went into a hospital and gave birth, and they tested the baby for COVID immediately after birth and determined that the baby was positive, and they took the child from her and moved it to another hospital and gave it remdesivir. And I have no idea what the outcome of that was, but she was beside herself.
I just... See, this is not behavior of an advanced, intelligent, enlightened species. This is evil. This is behavior of a species that, quite frankly, I'm not going to miss a lot of them. They're evil.
No.
They're soulless. They're taking up space. They're useless eaters. They're willing game players with the controllers in terms of killing people, beating people. Many police are that way. Not all. There's some wonderful police officers, male and female. Many are not. Many are psychopaths. And I'd be willing to bet that any department, the good cops in there know who the lunatics are. And there are some loons in there. This species is really in trouble. And by design.
It's amazing. It's amazing it has been able to get as far as it has. I mean, this whole agenda is moving along rather without a lot of resistance.
What resistance? I don't see anything but
coercion.
Social media. Social media? That's the only resistance out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That I can determine, yeah.
Think about it,
and they're trying to squash that.
Well, control it, sure. No, they want the people to keep thinking that their ruminations, their thoughts, have some clout. No,
mm-hmm.
Wrong. They're just being told to bark up a tree. Nothing's coming down. It's really absurd. Okay.
Yep.
Story. Vaccine shedding finally proven. Pretty exciting. Well, it's not exactly an accurate headline, but we'll take it. It's one of those stories. And let me just read this, and then Erica can dissect it for us. This is from the results section of the scientific study or the paper or the research effort that was done to prove that there was shedding. Now, let me tie this in with masks, because we're going to go there in just a moment. And as you know, we've been trying to urge people to continue wearing masks when they go into a store. You know, 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour. Come outside, you take the damn thing off, you're fine. It's not going to hurt you. You're okay. Now, we've been worried about the unvaxxed for obvious reasons. They should wear the mask. We also worry about the vaxxed, and we want them to wear the mask, right? So they don't pick up other diseases from anyone because their immune systems have been destroyed. They have AIDS. Remember the German study? After two shots, you only have 12% of your immune system left. So you need every possible advantage you can bend your way, and a mask is one. Now we have another dynamic to this, which we're going to unveil to you. I'm going to read this little part. Anything you want to add as a setup for this?
No, it's a good study. It was done at University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus, or Medical School. It is a preprint, so it has not yet been peer-reviewed, but it's still, you know, something of substance that is lending to our theory that, that all kinds of things related to the injection are coming out of the people who received the injection and being picked up by others around them.
All kinds of things.
Yes.
All kinds of things. Things that we don't even know about. Things that we haven't identified yet. This is not a joke. Can you identify for us IgG and IgA? Do we need to dwell on that at all?
Well, those are types of antibodies. IgA is a type of antibody that you would find in mucus secretions, maybe the lining of the intestines. So that's kind of a barrier. Mm-hmm. And then the IgM is a class of antibodies you make shortly after you've been exposed to a new pathogen. And then the IgG is the durable antigen, the one that has the memory of what you were exposed to, and that comes later.
All right. I'll mention these, so just assume that they're antigens.
Antibodies.
Excuse me. Antibodies. Antigen is the bad guy. Antibodies.
That's the protein you're making an antibody against.
Okay. The paper says in the results, the extended mandates for mask wearing in both social and work environments provided a unique opportunity to evaluate the possibility of aerosolized antibody expiration from vaccinated individuals. Now, right away, they're telling us they're going to look for the expulsion of antibodies. Now, antibodies are just one of a zillion things that could be potentially be excreted through an exhalation, a cough, a sneeze, whatever. All right? It comes out the respiratory tract. Utilizing a flow cytometry-based multiplex microsphere immunoassay, an MMIA, to detect SARS-CoV-2-specific antibodies, those are the good guys, and a method previously used to elute antibody from rehydrated dried blood spots. We identified anti-SARS-CoV-2-specific antibodies eluted from surgical face masks worn by vaccinated lab members donated at the end of the workday. One workday. So these employees said, here's my mask, good luck, and they went looking in the mask to see what was there. It's fascinating. It's what's not said that is frightening. Consistent with the results reported by others, we identified both IgG and IgA antibodies in saliva from vaxxed individuals, period. It was therefore not surprising to detect both IgG and IgA following elution of antibodies from face masks. So they found antibodies ejected by the body, exhaled by the body, stuck in the face mask. It didn't go through the face mask, it got stuck in there. Given these, anything you want to add?
No, you're good.
Okay. Given these observations, we hypothesized that droplet/aerosolized antibody transfer might occur between individuals, much like droplet aerosolized virus particles can be exchanged by the same route. To evaluate this hypothesis, we obtained nasal swabs from children living in households in which parents or family members had varying degrees of SARS-CoV-2-specific immunity, including those unvaccinated, vaccinated, and COVID-19 plus. Now, here's the punchline. Initial comparison of nasal swabs acquired from children living in vaccinated households children living in vaccinated households revealed readily detectable SARS-CoV-2-specific IgG antibodies, especially when compared to the complete deficit of SARS-CoV-2-specific antibody detected in the few nasal swabs we obtained from children in non-vaccinated households. Okay, Chief.
Well, that raises a question. I think the study is trying to imply that there's some benefit to picking up vaxxed people's antibodies, that the unvaxxed are getting some protection, like passive immunity or something.
Right.
How do we know that these children who are now testing positive for SARS antibodies, are they passive antibodies that they picked up from other people? As in their parents or siblings, or I would say that they could have generated those antibodies on their own. How do you distinguish
that? Why not?
That?
They're young. They have, generally speaking, functional immune systems. I would think that
they
certainly would.
And I'm not sure. I haven't read the paper closely enough that they made a distinction. You know, were these self-generated antibodies, or were they picked up from the environment?
Don't know. Okay, the question. How did the antibodies end up in the exhalation, the aerosolized exhalation? Remember, this is microscopic aerosolization. We're talking about little
moisture. Oh, beyond microscopic. This is in the nano. This is, so they leave the body through exosomes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, exosomes are extracellular vesicles that contain sometimes genetic information like RNA or viruses or portions of viruses or proteins. And in this case, it contained antibodies. The exosomes actually contained antibodies to the spike protein.
Now, if they looked again and again and elaborated upon this testing idea of evaluating a mask and what's in it, what has been deposited in it from the exhalations of the wearer during the day, there is no limit to what they might find.
Yep.
We're talking about spike proteins here, okay? Maybe even
at the very least.
Yeah, at the least. They did find antibodies, so we know the masks are collecting things that are being expelled by the wearer. All right. So right then and there, you know, masks can work. They can do good things.
Yeah, they're trapping exhalations, some of them.
That's right. That's right. So, again, it goes back to what we've been cautioning and urging you to consider wearing a mask whenever you're around other people, whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. If you're vaxxed, you want to do it for your own welfare to keep you from being exposed to aggressive viruses, bacteria, any kind of other pathogens, protect yourself. If you are unvaxxed, you want that protection from those who are vaxxed because they're expelling things like antibodies at the very least into their masks. And if they don't get caught in the mask, they come out of the mask. So we're not saying 100% effective rate here in any way. We're saying it's better than nothing. And if somebody doesn't have a mask on, no more masks. The mask mandate is gone. So everybody's in the store. They're all in there. You got 500 people in the store, two-thirds of which, usually, have been given the bioweapon, two-thirds of which are exuding things from their exhalations. So what do you have? You have Erica's mix and mingle. They're transmitting horizontally, they're shedding, they're transferring, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. But this is how they planned to get the 20% that don't get the shot. They said, take your masks off, no problem. Big problem. Keep your mask on. Go ahead.
We need to go back to this mystery component, the URA-3665, that was the subject of two papers last year at this time, March of 2021, I think April of 2021. We still don't know what it is. Both papers have disappeared. But the title of one of them is very, I would say, damning in this regard. Analysis of COVID-19 vaccines, plural, vaccines, reveals hidden URA-3665, which may have a cumulative toxic effect on the unvaccinated. So my contention at this point is that this is some kind of a micro-RNA that has been put into the vaccines, these gene transfection injections, to suppress part of the immune response, specifically the interferon, because if you look up in GeneBank what gene 3665 is, it has to do with an interferon regulatory protein. And we know that you have to suppress the interferon to make this gene transfection and protein expression successful. So that apparently is in the vaccine. They're admitting it right here, and it is being picked up by the unvaxxed. And then a second paper titled, where is it here? URA-3665 may facilitate SARS-CoV-2 spike protein engagement. Whoops, I just lost my page.
Is this the two little items?
Yeah, these are screenshots of the titles of these preprints that disappeared. Okay, URA-3665 may facilitate SARS-CoV-2 spike protein engagement with immune receptors in subjects with robust immune systems. So, in other words, this URA-3665 is, the purpose appears to be to engage the immune systems of people who may not respond to it normally, but it's some kind of an irritant where...
On our part, we're projecting this because Erica's been after this 3665 for many months. And this is the first indication that we've got something solid.
Yeah, I mean, there's at least one admission here with that first title that it's in the vaccines and it's turning up in the unvax. Now, how would that happen? Exosomes. So, this idea that the immune suppression that is being experienced by the vaccinated as a result of having these mRNA transfection or adenovirus infection injections, it looks like that immune suppressive part of it is transmissible. And that is why we are seeing epidemics of shingles in the unvaxxed who are spending time in the presence of the vax. I mean, you need interferon to keep your latent viruses from activating. You need interferon to keep cancer in check. So it's another reason to be wary of who you're around and whether or not you're taking some precautions when being exposed to them.
Okay, here's another one. This is kind of a backslapper. Pfizer is running TV ads recommending people take ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, and fluvoxamine if they get COVID. Now, this is the title in a Steve Kirsch newsletter. But when you watch the ad, did you see the ad?
Yeah, I did. I didn't see any mention of any of those.
No, there's no mention at all. I don't know why he put this title on here. There's not even a question mark after it. But here, let you all listen to the ad. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, the ad is just compelling people to get tested as soon as they have a symptom.
And take oral medication. And who makes oral medication? Pfizer.
Yeah.
Right?
Pfizer and Merck.
Okay. So the Pfizer is one pill, Paxlovid, and Merck, I think, is two, or do I have it backwards?
It's backwards. Pfizer's the Paxlovid. That's actually three, two and one, and then.
Oh, they upped it.
I think it was always two pills of one, and then one pill of another. It's a two medication combo. And then the Merck is the molnupiravir, which is really hideously toxic.
All right, here's a little short ad. Now, I don't understand why the headline is doesn't have a question mark in it or an exclamation mark and a question mark, but it doesn't. But when you look at the ad, here's all that Pfizer says.
COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too by asking your healthcare provider if an oral treatment is right for you. Oral treatments can be taken at home and must be taken within 5 days from when symptoms first appear. If you have symptoms of COVID-19, even if they're mild, don't wait. Get tested quickly. If you test positive and are at high risk for severe disease, act fast. Ask if an oral treatment is right for you. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too.
Okay, I have no idea why the headline is written as it is, but that is the headline. There's no mention of anything in there.
I don't know. Maybe he linked the wrong ad or something.
No, that's it. Because you look at the comments down below, it says the ad is real. Pfizer is promoting Paxlovid without mentioning it by name, since that's illegal. And this is Kirsch talking. My article is my take on the ad. It's humor. But unless you read his comment, you don't get the humor. It's weird. Anyway, so when you see the ad, understand that it's Pfizer, and they're pushing their product, Paxlovid. They're not pushing ivermectin, hydroxy, Z-Pak, fluvoxamine, or anything else. It's their drug they're pushing. So there you go. Now, next, got a lot of things here. AIDS is beginning to be reported by the National Institutes of Health. Okay? They're calling it innate immune suppression by mRNA. I don't know exactly what they're calling. The quotes don't end at the right place. So let me pull this story up. Did you get a chance to look at this one yet?
Yes.
All right, tell us what it says.
Mostly referring back to this paper that was recently published by Dr. Stephanie Seneff and Peter McCullough and Greg
right.
Nye. Okay, so that was pertaining to the myriad problems stemming from this mRNA transfection technology and how it's destroying the immune system. And they go into great detail. And it does have to do with mostly the innate immune system, which is your first line of defense. It's kind of a non-specific line of defense, whereas, you know, when you're generating antibodies, that's an adaptive response. But your first line of defense is the innate immune system, which can respond to anything that's non-self. Viruses, cancers, various different types of pathogens. And that's being systematically destroyed, dismantled, crippled, to the point where you're not just going to be at risk of COVID. You're going to be at risk of just all manner of things. You just don't have the capacity to identify pathogens properly or mount some sort of a defense against them so that they don't invade and take over. And that seems to be happening rather predictably now in people who have had this injection.
Okay, so what is the NIH saying about VADs? Can you distill that for us? Are they saying are they admitting that the vax is causing AIDS? Or is there some way they're worming around the subject?
I think that's a little bit of conjecture in that they're correlating it with just this sudden attention being given to HIV and getting tested for HIV when we were never really all that concerned with that in the past. Suddenly we are. Why?
Okay, very good. All right, well, it's interesting. The headline reads, VADs starting to be reported by NIH, okay? Yeah. Innate immune suppression by mRNA vaccines, they say. I call them bioweapons. So they go on and elaborate on G quadruplexes, exosomes, and microRNAs. So I just wonder if they're going to have to start admitting somehow that these injections are leading to AIDS in people.
Well, we had that story, was it Friday that we read it, of the practitioner who had a new patient come in. I believe it was a 31-year-old female just for a routine exam. And she had a lesion on her face that the doctor wanted to test to see if it was a herpes simplex virus. They ordered the wrong test. Instead of an HSV, human simplex virus, the nurse ordered an HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, by mistake, and the HIV test came back positive. And the doctor was really alarmed and disturbed that, you know, it was just a screening test. It would require further confirmation with another test. But she's wondering, is this going to become common? Should we be testing for this routinely now?
Good question.
And, you know, if that's the case, that is what the NIH is suggesting with all this sudden emphasis and attention being given to routinely testing for HIV. I know in the UK that if you turn it up in a hospital, they will give you a HIV test upon admission.
I think they're doing that.
Unless you decline it.
Right. They're doing that a lot now. Somebody told me just a day or two ago, or I read it, that they're doing HIV testing routinely now in hospitals. And I can't remember who told me, but I was told that. It is now beginning to proliferate. They're beginning to roll out their scam to try to blame vax-induced, bioweapon-induced AIDS, the destruction of your immune systems, on HIV, which it is not. And we have already explained to you how the HIV test will kick back a positive response because of what's in the spike protein. It's a trick.
Yep.
It looks like a trick. It acts like a trick. It sounds like a trick. It's a trick. They're smart. Now, what else is in the spike that could trigger a false positive on another test? How about what Eric has been saying? Rabies. Yes.
You can't test for rabies. You can only test for rabies on a dead body because you need the brain. So the rabies virus.
Well, they'll postmortem the tests. We're going to just wait a little bit.
They could. I mean, all you got to do is say the word rabies, and you'll instill fear in people. But that, well, you know, the fact that it has rabies, the spike protein has rabies.
Why
sequences
does it have? Why are those sequences in there? Who put them there? Santa Claus?
Well, it's very convenient. If you wanted to give this virus the ability to infect nerve tissue, well, you could use some of these sequences from the rabies, what they call the G protein.
Very smart. Very smart. So that's kind of an open door to getting maybe the spike into nerve tissue.
Yeah. Yes, and there's other sequences in there for other viruses, or sialic acid, and that would give this virus an affinity for nerve tissue, and it will. It does infect nerve tissue if it can get access to the nerve tissue. It can make its way into it.
All right, excellent, very good. Let me check one thing here. Okay. Now, next up. We're not going to get through half these things. So we've had the vaccine shedding story. We didn't have evidence. We had a preprint that said antibodies are being shed by people who have been vaxxed. Okay. I don't think it takes too much. It's not a big leap of faith to understand that they can be shedding anything, that if the tests were simply expanded, that they would find all manner of things, including spike protein, mRNA, God only knows what. So the idea is that vaxxed people are exhaling, and as we've said, skin-to-skin contact with a vaxxed person and an unvaxxed person can transmit things as well.
Yes.
Huh?
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Please, all of you understand that. And I have seen people going into stores, and they stop outside, and they put their mask on, and then they go in. And maybe they've been listening. I don't know. But I really am happy to see that. You've got to bend every little teeny tiny advantage your way. And even if a mask is only worth 10% increased safety, take it. Take it. What do you
got
to lose?
Yeah, at least it prevents a direct hit, which is really all it's intended to do. You're not going to walk into somebody's exhalations and vice versa. And there's a little bit of a barrier there that should trap some of it.
Hang right in the air. It's right in front
of
you. Now, some people say, oh, well, what about my eyes? Shouldn't I be covering my eyes? Well, there's an answer to that that is logical. Go ahead, Erica.
Well, yeah, that is definitely another route of entry. It can be another route of entry, but certainly what you're inhaling is the lion's share of what could potentially cause you a problem.
Yeah, exhalations. You could say it's baked in the bread.
You're taking it in. I mean, you're breathing it in, and now it's inside of you. And
it's a done deal.
Right.
It's in the bread. All right. Now.
I mean, you have eyelids, so every few seconds, you know, your eyelid cleans.
Speak for yourself.
You know?
I don't have any eyelids. I just stare all
but
the time.
But no, I mean, the eyes are a concern. They are, and you know, if you're really worried, you know, another barrier, set of glasses or something, or a face shield.
All right. Now, study finds COVID-19, and remember the original COVID-19 doesn't exist anymore, we don't think. Whatever they're calling COVID-19 now is something else. Study finds COVID, I'll just say COVID, increases the risk of suffering a stroke by 11,361% at least. Can you... Come on,
this is incredible.
Friends.
Absolutely incredible.
I'll read it again. Study finds COVID-19 vax increases risk of suffering a stroke by 11,361%. So, you want to roll your sleeve up? 11,361% increase in chance of getting a stroke? I don't think so.
Or cancer, some
cancer.
Prion disease, or...
We're getting to cancer here. Now, I say again, you heard it first here. Erica was right on this. She said, we're going to have an epidemic of cancer. Russell Blaylock said, you're going to see cancers we don't even have names for. And he's right. We're seeing cancers of body tissues that apparently just no one's seen before. I read one story on that last week. A Mayo-trained doctor says cancer has increased 20 times in COVID-19 vaxxed patients. So you increase your chance of a stroke by 11,361%, and you increase your chance of getting super cancer 20 times by getting that bioweapon injection. I mean, how lucky do you feel? See, this data should be on mainstream media, but it never will be because the mainstream media is another extension of the exact people who are behind this worldwide genocide. You know that. You all know
exactly.
That.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, I don't know what else. I didn't get a chance to even read this story. Let me open it up real quick. 20 times increase in cancer. And Dr. Blaylock, did I get to his story yet?
No.
I need to get there. I don't even think I brought it over. Do you have it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
All right. Too many stories. Mayo-trained doctor says cancer has increased 20-fold in COVID-19 patients. Well, the doctor is Dr. Ryan Cole, okay? This goes back to March 18th. This was published April 30th. But it says a doctor who trained at the Mayo Clinic and runs the largest independent testing lab in Idaho found an increase in cancers since the COVID-19 inoculation rollout. Dr. Ryan Cole, pathologist and owner and operator of a big diagnostics lab, reported to the public that he is seeing an explosion in various autoimmune diseases and cancers in patients who have been vaxxed. So there you go. He saw it first in uterine cancers, I believe. But
yeah, endometrial cancers.
There you go. We don't want to draw the line on that specifically.
No, there's a variety. I am hearing a number of lung cancers seem to be high on the list, pancreatic cancers. And now that pancreatic cancer has a strong association with mutations in the BRCA1 gene, which is one of the ones that is dysregulated in people who have had the vax or exposed to spike protein. That spike protein messes up that DNA repair pathway. So we're seeing more breast cancers, ovarian cancers, and pancreatic cancers because there's a strong association with that repair pathway with those organs. And, you know, pancreatic cancer, he typically doesn't manifest symptoms anyway until it's way, way late. So it's invariably fatal.
Pancreatic cancer. What we're seeing with these bioweapon-generated cancers or reinvigorated cancers is super cancer. It's so fast. What was the one?
Yeah, some of them.
The person died before they could even try and develop a protocol to treat it?
Yeah, that was, I believe, some of the leukemias that are developing after the vax that tend to be very, very aggressive to the point where, you know, the person barely receives a diagnosis, and then by the time the doctor has put together a treatment protocol, a week or two later, the person dies.
And then let me go back and let's revisit the CJD thing. I want to really honor Dr. Luc Montagnier. He turned in a different direction. And the last paper, he was the lead writer and researcher, found... Well, go ahead and explain what he found.
Yeah, he collaborated with a neurologist. This took place in France. And they... I forget how many... patients they had, was it like 30 or something?
30, and, let's say 35.
Or was it 40? 40, 41 maybe? It was a
maybe.
Good number.
Yeah.
But they follow these patients from the time they had their injection and began showing neurological issues and made the best diagnosis they could, given their tools, and determined that these people likely had CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, otherwise known as prion disease or spongiform encephalopathy.
Mad cow, spongiform,
yep,
TSE, BSE, NVCJD, VCJD, they got a lot of names for it. Mad deer disease or chronic wasting disease, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and it's uniformly fatal. There is no treatment. And it's when the brain becomes infected by this protein, which the spike protein is considered to be a prion-generating protein, so it can cause this misfolding of the proteins in your brain to the point where they kill the neuron dies, mm-hmm. and in its place is left a hole. So when enough of the brain is compromised in that way, then you start to show outward symptoms. I mean, this disease process can be occurring over a long period of time. It's really unknown how long it takes to actually manifest the symptoms. It might be 10 years, might be 5 years, it may be less. We don't know. But there was a strong temporal correlation with the vax in these people that died of it, you know, within months of having the vax. I think it was 2 or 3 months of having the vax. And strangely, with a couple of them, they manifested symptoms within 1 day of having the vax. So we don't know if that was a disease process that was already underway and the vax just accelerated the whole thing, or did the vax do enough damage?
Let's look at it this
own?
Way. Acceleration, I think, is a given because immediately after you're injected, your immune system starts to malfunction. Less immunological competence, the quicker whatever disease you're fighting will spread. So you can look at it either way. It's an acceleration.
Well, your immune system is compromised, but what the other component that people are overlooking is your protein regulation. Your body produces proteins. Every cell produces a particular protein at a particular time, and that's how you maintain your physiology. And I mean, the timing has to be spot on, just right, to have homeostasis. And you introduce something that's going to cause your cells to produce foreign proteins nonstop at the expense of its own proteins, you're asking for trouble. And there's no off switch?
No,
that people are having these types of problems, you know, one of the consequences of protein dysregulation, meaning you can't manage your own protein production, is amyloidosis. You form amyloid plaques, these aggregates of proteins in various tissues, and not just the brain, but you can have these things in your heart, in your kidneys or liver or bones, joints. There's something like 31 different amyloid diseases that are the result of protein dysregulation or protein misfolding.
All right.
So it's begging for trouble. These shots are a prescription for exactly that.
Well, these shots are functioning exactly as they were planned to function.
Yeah,
destroy the immune system and 20 other things, maybe 40 other things. We don't know.
Right.
We're putting it together as we go along. 16 cases of a new form of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease is the title of the Montagnier paper. And it's 16 cases. One took 30 days to manifest, but all the rest of them, the other 15 apparently, manifested by day 15.
Yeah, I think there was one that was on day 30, and that most of these were Pfizer and Moderna, and there was one that was AstraZeneca that took 30 days before the first symptoms showed up. But each and every one of them, they were dead within 2 months, and it was a really ugly, pitiful way to decline. This is just heartbreaking to watch people suffer like this.
I'm almost speechless at the hideousness of what is being done to humankind.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little quote from the amazing Anthony Patch. It's that last paragraph, I think, isn't it, that we should read?
Close to the end, yep.
The insidious part of this, all of this that he's been talking about, and you can see the video of him. We have it up there in the archive on the right side of the page. The insidious part of this is that once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they have lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own. Let me read that again. Almost immediately, they lose all awareness of the fact that they have lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own. And to affect them on a moral level, their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. If you remove the independent thought and that awareness, you've lost your independence. Doggone. What then do the powers that be do with these new forms of human hybrids? They control them. End of quote.
And I think we're seeing that. You know, as long as this foreign synthetic RNA is persisting in the cells throughout the body, you know, your own DNA can't express itself the way it was designed to.
I hope all of you pay attention. I have this story. It should be up in headlines as well. Just look for Anthony Patch. If you, it's a transcription of part of the video, and I read the last paragraph, the first part of it. You need to understand, this man made those statements 8 years ago. He knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. That wasn't just a throw caution to the wind and guess. He knew.
Yep.
How he knew, I don't know. But there it is. It's laid out there in black and white. Okay, anything you want to add to that deluge of information?
No, well, let's. If there's anybody out there that has access to Kirlian photography that's willing to maybe look at some of these vax people and see what kind of an aura they're projecting, that would be really amazing.
The story is up there in the archive on the right side about the energetic healers who have noticed when they look at their patients, they don't need a camera, but they're not seeing auras, they're not seeing energy, they're seeing dead people. Well, they're walking and talking, but they're seeing life force not there. So if anybody out there has a Kirlian camera to take pictures of the human aura, it would be very interesting if you'd take some pictures of vaxxed and unvaxxed people. They don't have to be in the same room. Just do it casually. You want your picture taken? You want to see what your aura looks like? You don't have to tell them what you're doing. We'd like to know, and I think that's a very viable and valid thing to explore. Thanks for mentioning that.
Okay.
All right, kiddo. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff. All right. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back with you Tuesday, tomorrow. No, we have another hour to go. What am I saying? I'm looking ahead. Mitch Henderson is up next with the latest update and his extraordinary ability to lay out this whole Russia-Ukraine thing. And we're now looking at the possibility, apparently, that Vladimir Putin has cancer and may be going in for surgery. We'll talk about that as well with Mitch coming up next. Hold on.